Today we're talking to Jo Lynch, who is a diabetes specialist nurse. And Jo is from the west of Ireland, from County Sligo, made famous by Normal People. Jo came to London in 1990 to start her nurse training and now works as a diabetes specialist nurse within a North London hospital. So you're very welcome, Jo.
Thank you.
So you came in 1990, Jo?
That's correct. And when I came over from Ireland in 1990, there were lots of other young Irish nurses who came over to do their training, and it was a very welcoming and friendly place to be back in the early 90s.
And you have chosen to specialise in diabetes, Jo?
That's correct. I have worked for many years in the NHS, and in 2009 I left cardiology to become a practice nurse, and whilst I was looking after the patients in the practice, I realised that I was seeing a lot of patients who had a cardiac history and also had diabetes, so I felt quite comfortable with this group. Therefore, I did a course in diabetes and became a diabetes specialist nurse in 2011.
So Jo, I've heard of type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Can you perhaps give us some clarity on these terms?
Yes, that's right. There are type 1 and type 2 and a few other different types of diabetes, but we'll discuss them individually. Type 1 diabetes occurs when the pancreas stops producing insulin, the body attacks its own immune system and stops producing insulin. Those individuals will need to inject insulin for the rest of their lives, and they account for about 10% of individuals with diabetes. The larger group are type 2 diabetes individuals, and they have some insulin being produced, however that is not enough insulin, or the body becomes unable to utilize the insulin that is being produced due to perhaps the individual being overweight, and the insulin is unable to enter the cells to be used effectively to break down the carbohydrates. It's also gestational diabetes. This occurs during pregnancy and usually disappears after giving birth. Individuals who develop gestational diabetes are at high risk of developing type 2 diabetes at a later stage, and they need to be monitored closely by the GPs. Secondary diabetes occurs when diabetes occurs as a result of another medical condition. Diseases of the pancreas that destroy the pancreatic cells include hemochromatosis, which is prevalent in the Irish community, pancreatitis, which can occur as a result of alcohol abuse, cystic fibrosis, and pancreatic CA.
I've also heard the term, Jo, borderline diabetes. What does this mean?
Well, unfortunately, this is a misleading term. I would rather we use a term pre-diabetes, which highlights that the individual is at risk of going on to develop a full diabetes should they not make some changes to their lifestyle. So there are some factors that they can change which will prevent their pre-diabetes going on to be fully diagnosed diabetes. We have some blood tests which help establish whether an individual has pre-diabetes or diabetes. This blood test is known as the HbA1c or glycated hemoglobin. Individuals who have a HbA1c of between 42 to 48 fall in the category of pre-diabetes. An individual who has a HbA1c of greater than 48 is diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. HbA1c is not used to diagnose type 1 diabetes, as this is an acute illness. Other blood tests are used. Alarmingly, there are 1 million individuals undiagnosed with diabetes who don't know they have or are at risk of developing diabetes.
So how would people know that they had diabetes, or what are the warning signs?
Okay, diabetes does have some short-term complications which notify an individual of having diabetes, but I would say it's too late to wait for these symptoms to occur. Diabetes can often be present for many years before the common signs and symptoms that you're aware of or that you've heard of. For example, passing urine frequently, increased thirst, feeling tired, weight loss, infections, which include thrush, and slow healing wounds. if this has occurred, your diabetes is at a quite advanced stage. However, if you are aware that you have some risk factors that make you more prone to developing diabetes, then you can address these.
So what sort of risk factors should people be aware of, Jo?
People need to be aware that there are modifiable risk factors and non-modifiable risk factors. If we start with the non-modifiable risk factors, which include your family history, you cannot change your parents, your close relatives. If they have diabetes in the family, there's a good chance you will also go on to develop diabetes. Age. Once an individual reaches the age of 45, they're at increased risk of developing diabetes. Our ethnic origin also predisposes us to diabetes. So those individuals from an Afro-Caribbean or Asian background are at high risk of developing diabetes. History of gestational diabetes and polycystic ovaries are things that we struggle to change. However, the modifiable risk factors are being less active, being overweight, unhealthy eating, alcohol abuse, being aware of your limits, smoking, hypertension, high cholesterol, and insulin resistance are all things that we can change.
So modifying our lifestyle is one way to prevent diabetes?
Yes. So I would encourage individuals to be more active, do some activity that you enjoy, get your heart pumping, will help insulin to work better and more efficiently. Also, it gets the glucose out of the bloodstream and into the cells, therefore reducing the blood glucose level. Also, I would suggest that individuals attempt to lose weight. They also stop smoking if they smoke, reduce or cut back their alcohol intake. We would encourage individuals to exercise moderately for 30 minutes per day, to reduce their BMI to less than 25, have the blood pressure checked regularly, and if the blood pressure is greater than 120 over 70, they should seek medical attention, and they should also ensure their cholesterol is less than 5.
So you mentioned that people can have diabetes for a period of time before they realise. And what is the complications or the risks of that, Jo?
Yes, there's very many complications associated with diabetes. And unfortunately, individuals can have diabetes without ever knowing they had it. And we know this because they can have well-established complications by the time they are diagnosed. For example, they can have eye problems. It's a leading risk factor for blindness. They can also develop nerve damage to their feet. It's a leading cause of foot problems and amputations. They can also have kidney disease. It's a leading cause of renal dialysis. And these take several years to develop. So the take-home message is, at this point, if you have diabetes, as long as you follow the advice you're given and have your regular checks, which is available to each individual who has diabetes, these complications should not occur.
Thank you, Jo. That has been very interesting and very insightful. And what is your take-home message for our audience, for our listeners today?
My take-home message would be raising awareness around pre-diabetes and type 2 diabetes. Ask yourself if you have any risk factors which are modifiable. Could you increase your level of activity? This will have several benefits, i.e. help you to lose weight, can have beneficial effects on your blood pressure and your cholesterol levels, can make you feel better. Are there any changes you can make to your diet? Can you reduce your portion sizes? Can you have a healthy snack between meals? Can you eat more vegetables? Avoid adding sugar to your drinks. Reduce your salt intake. Reduce your alcohol intake. Cut down and stop smoking. Have regular reviews. Ensure your blood pressure and lipids are well controlled. Have a blood test. Find out if you've got diabetes. And interestingly, there are some studies going on at the moment which is studying how diabetes can be put into remission, and several individuals who have followed a low carbohydrate diet have been able to lose weight and stop taking any oral medications for the diabetes. So this is very encouraging for the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jo.